Thank you for that, Chris Cross. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. Tuesdays at 9:40. If it's Tuesday, it must be Belgium. And it must be time to talk with our friends at SailSportsTalk.com. Not SailSportsTalk, SailSportTalk.com. And Karen Lyle from that organization co-hosts this segment with me. Karen, good to have you on again. How are you?
Well, I have a big smile on my face for you, Rick, and for all of our audience, because we're an audio-only show, you know? So we got to add our smiles every once in a while since people can't see them.
Well, they say in the radio they can hear you smile.
Ah, okay. Can you hear me smile?
Absolutely. And we have a guest. We're quite happy to have Captain Johan Steinke. He wrote the children's book, The Greatest Captain in the World, and we've talked to him about that. And first of all, Johan, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about the book again and some of your latest exploits on the open seas.
Oh, sure. Hello, Rick. Hello, Karen. Thank you so much for having me on. And I can definitely hear your smiles. It's wonderful. I wrote The Greatest Captain of the World and its sequel, The Greatest Captain of the World 2. And they were just, they were fun books. I had a young sailor on my ships one time who was the most gifted storyteller I ever came across. And he'd always introduce our captain and come up with some crazy story about him. And so I thought, you know what, I'll compile these, put them in a book, got to work with an illustrator for a year and was very happy with the results. I'm actually almost sold out of all my books. I sold about 5,000 copies of the first one and 2,000 copies of the second one.
Well, it's a special edition, Johan, and actually I so appreciate talking to you and brought you back on the show because, of course, we're good friends. We've sailed down the coast from San Francisco to Puerto Vallarta on the Maiway. We've sailed on the Hawaiian Chieftain, on the Lady Washington, and now you are on the Schooner Suva.
That's correct. Yeah, Schooner Suva out of Coopville, Washington, on Whidbey Island. She's a 100-year-old schooner. And it is her 100th birthday this year.
That's kind of sounds like the Oklahoma song, Boomer Schooner. Boomer Schooner, Boomer Schooner. You can do it for the ship, right?
And now I have to look that song up after this.
Schooner Suva, Schooner Suva. Yeah, they come onto the football field in a covered wagon, and that's the Boomer Schooner. So there's your new theme song, Captain.
Yeah, no, she's a great boat. She's really awesome. An old wooden boat made out of 400-year-old Burmese teak. It's an awesome organization, the Whidbey Island Maritime Heritage Foundation. They're a nonprofit, all volunteer run. It's just a really neat part of the community here in Penn Cove, near where I live. You know, it's just a wonderful addition to the beauty of where I live.
Well, you know, I remember, Johan, and I think, I don't know, was it 2016 or something that we sailed down to Puerto Vallarta? I'm thinking it was around that time that you had met Megan, of course, as your first mate, and then now you have a family with you and Megan. Tell us about your children.
Oh, it's true. My two little boys, yeah, they are wonderful. They're 5 and 6 years old. And they're just running around like crazy, of course, using their imaginations. They love boats. They love old wooden ships. They love, you know, modern ships. They love sailing. They love all those things. And we're about to go on a big trip with them. So we're planning on going down to Chile and Argentina for about 5 to 6 months. Not sail related. We just want to teach the boys some Spanish and explore those countries. So that'll be our plan in the fall and winter.
That's amazing. Are you United States Navy captain, Bulgarian Coast Guard? How did you get the rank?
I went up through the hawse pipe on the tall ships. I started on Lady Washington and worked my way up over the years. I never intended to be a captain, or I probably would have been a little more responsible in my early years. But but later on down the road, I got a captain's license, and they eventually made me mate and then captain on these different ships. And then living here in Penn Cove, I was lucky enough to find the Schooner Suva, just a few minutes from my house, really. So I'm always able to help them out and just do their programs and go sailing once in a while, which is great.
Karen, I know the Lady Washington is near and dear to you.
Oh, very much.
Well, actually, I was introduced to the Lady Washington by the mates of the My Way, because they had conspired that they wanted me to meet Brandy Benarek, who is the executive director of Grays Harbor Historical Seaport, and so they put me on the Lady Washington when it was a pirate themed day, and we all went out, and you know, of course, we were people were dressed as pirates for that day. You know, in the fun spirit of pirates, not the actual thievery spirit of pirates, right? And so, Lady Washington, actually, do you know, have you heard how the restoration and refitting of Lady Washington is going, Johan?
I have not directly, but I am going to be going to the Wooden Boat Festival in Port Townsend in early September. I believe it's September 5th through 7th. And they are going to have a presentation on the Lady Washington early Saturday, which I intend to see and listen, and you know, hopefully I'll go visit the boat too. But yeah, so that should be very interesting. So I've not heard any direct updates.
What are some of the, because we know that the sea is unforgiving, so have you ever had any times of peril when you've been a captain?
When I was captain, no, gosh. I mean, the only, you know, I do remember one time where we had a passenger on board where this guy, like, I looked over and the guy had his finger in his ankle. And I'm like, well, no, the mate came up to me. He said, Johan, there's a guy bleeding. I look over and he's like, got his finger in his ankle. I'm like, what the heck? I noticed there's blood on the deck and stuff. And he claimed that a bug, like, this is in New Jersey where bugs actually are pretty big and can bite you. He claimed a bug had bit into a wound that he had and just somehow severed an artery. I'm like, oh, gosh, well, I guess we got to go back. But then his doctor was there. This guy's doctor was on the ship. And so I'm like, doc, what's the thing? He's like, oh, he's fine. Don't worry. We'll just put some gauze in. It'll be okay. And I'm like, okay. But as far as actual peril, no, not when I was captain, not so much. I did go a couple times when I was a deckhand and we were out in a full force gale. And that was crazy. Yeah, like 45 knots sustained, you know, 18, 20-foot swells, not including the wind waves. So it was more than that. I would not have done that.
I'm going to say, now, when you were a deckhand, tell us what ship you were on and how did you stop from being washed over?
Well, that one was Lady Washington. So luckily, you know, Lady Washington has high bulwarks, you know, so those walls that go up above the deck are pretty high. But yeah, I mean, as you know, and it was a good experience for me just because, first of all, it's like, why are we out here? Like, this is kind of dangerous, you know. But also, you just, like, that's the maximum that, I mean, it was beyond what the ship could do. Like, we couldn't go into the weather, you know, upwind in that kind of, we were going backwards. We were motoring into it going backwards 2 knots. So I filed that away in the back of my head. So anytime there were conditions that weren't even close to that, I'd say, like, yeah, we can't go out. There's no way we can do our transit because it's going to be not only dangerous, but just we're going to go nowhere. We're going to just burn fuel. So there's something to be said about, you know, if you get a new boat, if you buy a new boat or get on a new ship, especially as a captain, find out from the previous captains, like, what's the most this boat can kind of go out in? You know, with Schooner Suva, I would never take it out in 20 knots of sustained wind ever. Wouldn't even consider it. You know, probably the maximum is 16 sustained. And even then, you got a reefed main. You're only setting, you know, a reefed main and a fore staysail and sheeting the main out and not going directly into the wind. I mean, like, you're doing stuff to make sure that boat's still safe because, you know, every boat has its limits. So.
Have you ever wanted to go to a deserted island? I read a book about this couple that, you know, very rich, had this beautiful boat. They went to the island. They were all by themselves. And then some creepy people came in and they had to kind of share their island with them. You know, it's lawless out there. You can't call the ambulance or the cops. So have you ever been intrigued by something like that?
Yeah, of course. I think everybody dreams about sailing off to some crazy island. But boy, if you want to get into the specifics of international maritime law, I think that's going to be a longer podcast than we can spare today. It gets it's a little weird. I don't know. Yeah, the high seas are fascinating, to say the least.
Well, I remember during the pandemic, we had we had the maritime law was part of the question because all of the ports had been closed down in Madeira, and there was a sailor who was also a journalist who wanted to be able to dock, and there was the maritime law says safe harbor, you know, in a storm, and they wouldn't let him have any access to food or provisions or things like that. Have you ever had a situation that you've read about or one of the captains you know about where you weren't able to actually to get safe harbor?
Well, I mean, it's a funny thing because, yeah, like my, well, like on the West Coast, I mean, the whole West Coast is very, very rugged, you know, so it's not like some of those provisions, like on the East Coast, you're always within 20 miles of a harbor of safe refuge, you know, so the idea is just don't go out past 20 miles. Whereas on the West Coast, it's a lot different. I mean, we have a very rugged coast. So no, there's some places, especially if you're a bigger ship, where your next port is going to be more than 20 miles away, and there's nothing you can do about that. There's nothing you can do. So I'm not sure if that answers your question. Like, yeah, we wouldn't go out with passengers out, you know, when we're doing these big long transits, we usually don't have passengers on board. So, but I do remember going into Port Orford one time. I was not captain. I was, again, a deckhand, and we needed to fuel because we had spent all our fuel on that, you know, in the gale that I mentioned earlier. And we stopped in Port Orford, which I guess technically is a harbor safe refuge. But when we went in, the boat actually, the water went out and we got stuck in the mud there while we were refueling. So it wasn't, you know, thankfully all the wind had died down and it was relatively sheltered. But we had to wait for the tide to come in and then the boat floated again and we were good to go.
It's Captain Johan Steinke of the schooner Suva. Thanks for your insights and your stories. We appreciate it.
Yeah, and if folks want, you know, if you're in Washington, come to the Port Townsend Wooden Boat Festival. We're going to be sailing there. Schooner Suva will. We're featured. I mean, she's 100 years old, and it's an awesome boat. It's an awesome organization. If somebody wants to donate to a nonprofit, please, you know, check it out on schoonersuva.org.
There it is, and that's That's SUVA. Yeah, thanks, Captain.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for all that.
Bye, Johan.
Bye, Karen. Great talking to you again.
All right, and Karen, good to talk to you. We'll do it again next week. How about that?
I'll hopefully still have a smile on my face.
All right, good stuff. I'm Rick Tuttle. We'll take a quick break. We'll come on back on Sports Byline.